Now, our subject is the persecuted church. How many of you were gently confronted by the three ruffians outside as you came in? Some were. Did they make an impression upon you? Well, just imagine this. Imagine instead of those three, there were three, four, five, six, even a dozen or more fellows and some formidable ladies outside the door of the church. And instead of this little placard, "Why go in there?" they had, "Don't go in there. Don't go in there." What would your response have been? I can tell you this, in some places, that confrontation would have spelt big trouble. It could have meant slander and intimidation and being deprived, having people break into your home and ransack it, or even set fire to this building. That sort of thing is happening in some places. And it has happened in Pakistan, which will be the focus of our praying to do with the persecuted church this afternoon, and which Philip and Florence James, who spent quite a number of years in Pakistan, will shortly come and share with us and lead us into prayer, not just for Pakistan, but for other places in the world where Christians, because of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are persecuted, imprisoned, some even tortured and killed. I must admit, there's a name comes to mind, David Davis, who was a missionary in China. And David was a Presbyterian minister who, when I started in the ministry first, was a bit of a mentor to myself. His motto was, "The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns." And David and his wife and family were missionaries in China in the 40s and through the war. And they lost a child in the internment camps in China. And David himself, to his dying day, bore a terrible scar down one side of his cheek, where when he went to defend one of the ladies from a couple of Japanese guards, he was set upon and brutally beaten, and his face smashed with a rifle butt. Amazingly, David never had a bad word to say about the Japanese people. He loved them. Why? Because he'd grasped hold of, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of thing falsely against you for my sake. Rejoice." That's a secret that becomes a reality if we have to go through it. But I'm aware too that persecution has various forms and states. And there may be some of us here this morning and you're just feeling beaten down. Or maybe things are not going right. Maybe work is hard. Maybe relationships are tough going. And behind it all is Satan stirring away. Because he hates brothers and sisters walking in love and in the power of the Holy Spirit. The theologians speak of two states of the church: the church triumphant and the church militant. Now, how many of you here actually believe in Jesus personally this afternoon? How many? By grace, we have quite a number of folk who can respond immediately. Do you know what that means? If that's real, and I believe it is, if that's real, we are in the church triumphant even now. We are part of the picture that's coming up now on the front there. The church of all times, all ages, all nationalities, all peoples, the Old Testament people of God, the New Testament people of God, right up until Jesus returns. All one because of the cross of Christ, because of the blood that was shed freely for us and for our redemption. And so we are brought close to God and into the kingdom when He, our blessed Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. It's a lovely thought this morning. Made right with God, come freely into His presence, hear His voice, walk in the Spirit, and just be blessed. There are a number of scriptures that combine to tell us that there are many, many, many who one day will sit down with Abram and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God and enjoy that amazing feast called the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a prospect. Gosh, imagine, you could be sat next to Isaac or one of the apostles or maybe someone who doesn't have a name but is precious in the Lord's sight. And all are equally precious. Imagine it. And there in the midst, Jesus, the Lord, smiling and enjoying the company. Wow. And blessing each and every one individually. And because of the power of the Spirit, we feel it right here, right as we could now. In the now, we can taste that honey, that drip that comes down. Oh, Lord, more please, more, more. Francis, will you come and read some scripture to us, please?
Okay, the reading I'm going to do is coming from Revelation chapter 7. Starts at verse 9 and will continue to the end of the chapter. It's entitled, The Great Multitude in White Robes. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then one of the elders asked me, These in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from? I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Francis. More than once I've sensed and actually seen people crying in this place. If you've cried in the last week or two, or will in the next week or two, remember that God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Total healing, complete glorification in Jesus. But it's not all glory in the present, is it? If we are honest, we have a catalogue of events and circumstances right now that are not really seeming to go our way and for us. Even though we know that God's promise is, "I am for you and will never leave you nor forsake you." We are in what is called the church militant. That is, the sum total of God's people here on earth, in the present, in the now, living out our lives in a world full of change, full of difficulties, full of brokenness. And we are often part of that brokenness. And we ache and we feel loss and sadness and trials and things against us. But we are called to live for him and to live for one another, to be those who witness to others who don't yet know Jesus, and above all, to walk daily in the Holy Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Do you know what that means, walking in the Spirit? Walking, knowing that he is not only in us, but he is with us. Walking with him. And remember, he once said, "As they persecuted me, they will persecute you." In fact, there's a scripture just before I ask Philip and Florence to get ready to share that really blows my mind away. And it comes from Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 onwards. "When he," that is the Lamb, Jesus, "opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, 'How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?' Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed." What a strange scripture. Until the number that were to be killed, as they had been, was completed. Such scriptures tell us that history is going somewhere. There is to be a completion. There is to be an end of the present situation. And that includes an end to suffering and persecution. And it's a strange thing to believe, and in believing to feel alongside men and women and boys and girls of all times and generations and places who are persecuted because of righteousness and for the name of Jesus Christ. In receiving that scripture, if we can, it should turn us to the Lord in prayer and intercession, not in terror and, I don't know what to say on that, because the man I was converted under gave me 17 prophetic utterances over my life, and I think about 9 or 10 have definitely come to pass already. And one of them was that probably before my days, we in the United Kingdom, in Great Britain, could know persecution for being in Jesus. And he said, if you live to be 90, you could end up in prison. And I thought that would be pretty uncomfortable at the age of 90, be uncomfortable at any age. But it's something that's lived with me. But also he said, but the Lord will be with you and sustain you as he does every believer. And the testimony of people like Richard Wurmbrand of Romania, who I've met personally, and others, is the Lord sustained us. The Lord sustained us.